This is Vision Destiny 2019, the last part, part 12, in which I've been sharing my 2008 journal sequentially. And some of those things that I've shared have included what God said, what God did in 2018, some of my encounters, some of the things I experienced. What does that mean for 2019? What does God want to reveal and unveil to us in 2019? What does God want us to do? Where does he want us to go? Where is he going to take us? It's an exciting time to be alive, an exciting time to be called for the kingdom at a time such as this. We all have a destiny. We've all been called. God has purpose for each of us. Now, as I share these things, some of them may be more controversial than others. Some of them you may resonate with. If you do, take it back to God. If you don't, or if you strongly object to anything, take it back to God and ask him. He's the one who can give you revelation. I'm sharing my experiences. That's my revelation. For it to become your revelation, you need to engage God for yourself. Information comes from others. Revelation comes from engaging God. We all need to know the truth by personal experience and go deeper into that truth. That truth, that reality, the reality of who Jesus is as the truth, is inevitably going to expand and increase. It must be a progressive sense of revelation because God is infinite in that sense. Therefore, there's so much more to engage with him. Love is my plumb line for truth. Everything that I encounter, everything that God says to me, I measure against the plumb line of truth. Now, of course, I've learned to recognize his voice. I've learned to recognize the voice of the Father, the voice of Jesus, the voice of the Spirit. But I still don't just accept that without measuring it against truth. That truth is measured against love. God said to me, if it's not unconditional love, it's not me. If it is love, it is me. And love must be unconditional and otherly, in other words, directed towards others. Otherwise, it is not love at all. Don't tell people how lost they are. Show them how loved they are. And this is a quote from Françoise Dutoy, who wrote and is translated the Mirror Bible, which I would highly recommend people read. It's an expression of the heart of the God, the Father that I've met, who does not see people as lost. If we're going to engage the world, we must show them how loved they are. And to do that, we must know how loved we are. So we must live loved. It's a state of living in perpetual bliss, knowing we're loved unconditionally, and therefore from that place of unconditional love, just outworking who we are, our identity as sons of God, within the context of being loved. The mind of Christ has been released to bring true metanoia to this dimension. Now, I believe this is what's going on. There is an unveiling, an expanding of consciousness, an increase in frequency. Even the planet, the Schumann's frequency of the planet, is spiking and increasing in frequency. Therefore, there is increased levels of consciousness, an unveiling of truth that we are facing. There are many dimensions calling to the sons of God to engage, bringing the freedom of love's light and glory. Now, I left last the session with this, and is a little bit of a cryptic thing. What is God meaning? Other dimensions calling to us? Do we have a role to play in these things? Well, I'm going to share some of my experiences of that. Son, you have been given a mandate to be the ambassador to those races who have made contact with who you have previously engaged. Now, I shared previously that I've had encounters where God has taken me to go beyond. It took me a long time to engage what that meant and to eventually go into this dimensional place, which at first I had no grid of reference for. And then as I began to engage with the reference point of God himself, then I began to see things more clearly and to engage things. And I have been back to those places and other places a number of times. And I went to one place in one encounter where I met three races of beings. And now this place was a sort of almost like a staging place or a connecting place between dimensions. I don't really understand it, but I went there and I engaged with these three races of beings. So those are the beings God was referring to that I've already previously engaged. There will be more once the testimony of freedom is released. So once testimony is released to people to bring hope, to bring the fact that there is a hope of freedom, from what? From the same bondage to corruption and decay that creation is groaning under. Creation is way more than just what we can see in this physical universe. There are all sorts of scientific things about multiverses and multi-dimensions and parallel universes and all that things. Personally, I believe that there are dimensional places that have created already, and there is the potential that exists for everything to exist, but only does it exist when we choose to embrace that reality. So every choice you make actually is one of a possible billions of choices you could make. And when you choose it, that is actual reality. But before you choose it, there are multiple possibilities. Therefore, there are multiple possible realities, all based on our choice. So it's really important that we make the right choices. Son, what I did not tell you is that you, and he wasn't talking about me, he was talking about us as the sons of God. You are the freedom, the light of love, and it is the expression of your glorious identity as sons that will be the frequency that restores hope and sets that part of creation free from its bondage. Romans 8:19-21. For the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. That's us. Creation is waiting. There's something sentient about it here that it's waiting. Now that might mean all the parts of creation that are sentient. It may mean that creation itself, not just created people or beings, are sentient in some way. That's another discussion for another time. For creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will also be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. That's us. That's us actually radiating the light and frequency of sonship, the glory, the essence, if you like, of sonship, out into creation. You have met on neutral ground, and that was the place that I met these three beings in. Now enter the dimensional portals and radiate love's light, which will release the truth of true sonship to those whose hearts are longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Now, what I'm sort of about to share is no different really from other testimonies that I've shared about engaging heaven or engaging eternity or engaging the Father's garden. It's all dimensional experiences in going into the different courts, engaging with the councils of heaven. You know, all these things, you know, are just expressions of what we can do in the spiritual realm and engage. So I met in this place. Now, having met, I then had a clear revelation of the portals that are open, and I saw all these portals with very much like a glimpse of looking in through to see what's beyond. And I saw lots of them sort of spiraling in a way from me. I didn't pursue going searching after them because I have already engaged through some of them. So now here is God saying, hey, you need to engage a dimensional portal or dimensional portals. So I went through the portal, which I engaged, and I went beyond to the smaller statured people that I had met before. And I immediately felt the bondage to servitude and segregation that existed in this dimension. Now you've got to understand, these fallen dimensions are in the past have followed the fallen covering cherub, whether we call that Lucifer or whether we are saying Satan or whatever. And they followed that in the trade of information that was used to deceive and lead them astray in walking the wrong path away from God himself. And so if you think of the worst that has created in this dimension, then in those dimensions, it is potentially greater, but a reflection of the worst of this dimension, if you like. And it felt terrible. I felt immediate bondage that was there. Slavery, apartheid, the caste system, the ruling classes subjugating all the worst things that we've done were still fully operating and operational, oppressing the masses in the most foul, heinous way. It was awful. I'm trying to describe it, but I felt huge oppression just being in the atmosphere of this place. Now, I couldn't be seen because there's a sense where my spirit is cloaking me. But then I saw it. I looked and saw at the center of this area, a huge obelisk. And this was their version of the Tower of Babel, connecting the ruling masses to a hive mind, because the Tower of Babel was to make a name for themselves, lest they be forgotten. And they built this tower to connect into the spiritual realm. And in this dimension, there was a tower which was being used to bring everyone together and control them under these terrible systems of oppression. This could be turned to connect the worker classes. So I engaged it. I discerned what it was, and I discerned that this could be used against this oppression. So I ascended in light, connected to the system, because remember, we're light beings, and this was operating in a form of light communication, electromagnetic communication. And I connected with the system, and I reversed the polarity of the circuits that I was engaged in. And I sent out a frequency of hope, a message of love's light within Sonship, and it went forth to stir the memory of more ancient past before the fall within the DNA of these beings. Freedom from bondage radiated from love's light, and they were touched by Sonship, not to create rebellion, but through love, a non-violent revolution. And this message of hope was to stir. Now, remember, I had been connected to or engaged with an ambassador of this race. And that ambassador told me that not all of his race were content to be subjugated or were content to continue following the path that their ancestor had set them on by accepting, like some of the fallen angels did, the offer of power, position and authority under Lucifer's rule. And there were those who were now becoming aware and therefore realize they've not made that choice. So this was an engagement in that dimension. Now, I'm not going into where that dimension is or whatever, but the reality is it was a different dimension from this one, a different place, and was populated. And it was something that God was saying, that as sons of God, connected to the whole of creation that is waiting for our revealing, we need to go and be revealed in love's light, bringing the truth of freedom, reconciliation from that. Because remember, Jesus just didn't die on a cross. He was slain before the foundation of the world on the creation stone that then has emanated everything from. So within the fabric of everything that's created, something deep within it has that message, that word, that truth embedded in it, that there is hope, that relationship is possible. And I wanted to see that unveiled. The mindsets of oppression and suppression can be thrown off when love's light infiltrates that society like leaven. And that was my intention, and that's what I did. And I am hoping that that is infiltrating like leaven. I haven't been back, but I hope that that's going on. The DIY code from Earth is connected to creation itself, perverting and polluting creation with the true essence of Antichrist. Now, Antichrist isn't a person. It is not a future expression of a person. It is a spirit that's against sonship. It's a spirit that is anti our position of authority and government and relationship within God. And that has effectively connected to other creations and has polluted it. So renewal of our mind is absolutely vital if we're to embrace our sonship. And I know some of the things that I share, some of the things I've experienced may stretch your mind and your credibility, credulity, looking at it and thinking, is that just a figment of imagination? Is it just fantasy? Now, the reality is it's my experience and I'm aware of other people's experiences. So it isn't just me. I think God is doing this. He is calling people to sonship. He is giving them roles within creation to embrace creation. But if we're going to fully come into our sonship, our minds need to be expanded. So the part of this year, and as I move towards the end of the year, this was a real emphasis that I was connecting with God about. We all need to be set free from the lies of religion and the lies that limit our true identity as sons of God. You know, it is time to actively pursue and embrace the deconstruction of our minds and the expansion of our consciousnesses. Renewal of the mind can come through many sources, and there's much good material out there. Lie busting, Caroline Leaf's cleansing, toxic thinking, lots of different things. Mindfulness and meditation was something that God really stirred me to share, in a sense, the last 20 years of my life on my journey to learn to be centered in a place of rest, living from love, so that I am mindful and I am at that place where meditation is something now that I live in, accessing states of consciousness, de-stressing life and living from rest. And with all the other things that can contribute to removing lies, cleansing our thinking, we then have to learn to focus our thinking and focus our minds so that accessing God, who is going to expand our consciousness, is the key. Developing creative and intuitive thinking so that we don't just come from memory, that we're accessing something deeper within ourselves, but actually when we're connected on one spirit with Him, connecting and really accessing that which comes out of the eternal now and comes out of the heavenly perspectives. Deconstructing the mind. Our mind is constructed with pillars and belief systems which frame our thinking, and if those belief systems are contradictory to the truth, then we are held in the bondage to those lies, believing that they're truth. And so much of my religious thinking needed deconstructing, and that I had 9 pillars that held up the constructions of my mind. 6 of them were religious in nature and 3 were cultural and educational in nature. God deconstructed them, and therefore, when deconstructed, I could see the truth like I never saw it before. Cognitive dissonance, that's what created it. Experiences with God that so challenged what I believed that I could no longer believe it, because I had the face-to-face encounter with the truth, which so exposed the lies. Not an easy process when you have been brought up for, you know, I've been a Christian since I was 12 in that sense, and I never didn't believe before that. I'd been to Sunday school and church and everything else. So it was never a point in my life that I didn't believe. So that is a lot of programming, you know, and I come from a very traditional background in evangelical Methodism. And then I went into the Brethren Church, which is even strongly, more strongly into that programming. And really, that is where most of our present eschatological views of the Bible and what's coming come out of that Brethren root. And it came out of their rejecting the Holy Spirit that was moving as they came out of the traditional churches of their time. This is in the 1830s. That whole movement experienced an outpouring of the Spirit with prophecy and tongues and spiritual gifts. And they chose to split and reject it and then created systems of belief to explain why those things are not today. And that's where dispensationalism, premillennialism, rapture theory, many, many things, the earthly and heavenly people relating to Israel and the church, all of that came from the same root, which came out of a demonic turning away and therefore deception. And I was part of that, and God had to deprogram me many years ago in the mid-80s when I got baptized in the Spirit from that whole system of belief. But over the last few years, He's deconstructed me even more. That's where I've begun to discover true reality and my having the remapping of my mind with my eternal consciousness. Now, I went into all these truths in the teaching intensive that I did on deconstruction of the mind and expanding consciousness, and that's available on our website. And I would encourage those who are maybe starting this process to embrace it. The meditation process is within there also. So engaging our eternal memory. Who were we before we were here? Now, that has been disconnected to our actual memory and our earthly consciousness, if you like. But there is another level of consciousness. If we then begin to have our minds remapped to who we were before we were here, it starts to help us develop non-linear thinking and non-linear living. So we can live in a multidimensional way. Therefore, connecting to creation in a different way, which is what I just talked about, connecting to aspects and parts of creation, which were completely unavailable or inaccessible to me when my thinking would not allow me to even believe that that was possible. Rewiring the mind to reconnect to a different way of thinking and the mind of Christ. Restoring lost extrasensory perception type abilities that Jesus demonstrated when he was here. Telepathy, transmutation, you know, Jesus turned water into wine, telekinesis, pre-postcognition abilities. All those things were things that Jesus demonstrated. They're not weird. Well, they are weird, but in reality, they're supernatural and they're should be the natural part of our life. Expanding consciousness will allow us to create, choose, and frame reality because we will see the power of the mind to make those choices available to us continually and make the right ones. And the right ones are the ones done in sonship. And the right ones, there could be a million right ones to choose. And we have the ability as sons to choose them. There is no just one way that we have to get. We are creative and we choose to outwork the heart of God in a way which is creatively coming from who we are as unique beings. Translation in time and space. These things become available when the limitations of the mind is off. And I've had many, many experiences and encounters where my spirit and soul have gone together into another time or another space within this dimension or within other dimensions on a mission to fulfill a purpose that I was assigned, a mandate. And I have many, many stories and testimonies of that. And I have heard many, many stories and testimonies from other people when we've done these sort of engagements. You know, make yourself available to God. Say, hey, God, I'm available. Any missions you want to send me on, anything you want to enable me to do, anything you want to send me to engage and help other people, whether they be in time or space, we can't be translated when we are not limited and tethered to this realm in the way that most of us have been. So seeing from an eternal and a heavenly perspective begins to change how you see the earthly realm in which you're living. You're seeing it from a higher dimension and a higher perspective, free from the matrix of illusion. Most of us have lived in the matrix of illusion, controlled by these religious belief systems and other belief systems which limit who we really are, and God wants to set us free. Multi-realms, non-linear living is ultimately the goal for spirit and soul, and perhaps even body when we go to the next dimensions. Spirit is continually within omnipresence of God and is simultaneously in many, many dimensions. Now, think of that. You know, if we're in God and God is everywhere, then surely we have access to everywhere. But perhaps we don't know how to do that. Being a continual living sacrifice on the altar, standing within the heart of God in the eternal now. I used to do these things linearly every day. Every day I would be a living sacrifice. I would engage the altar. I would engage the four faces of God. I would look to walk back on the ancient path, go back into the heart of God. And when I discovered I didn't have to be linear in my living and my thinking, I could be in all those places at the same time. So standing in Yod Heh Vav Heh as Yod Heh Shin Vav Heh, in the name of God with the power of God's name, standing within the four faces of God, lion, ox, eagle, man, seated on our heavenly thrones, active in the Chancellor's court or specifically mandated courts, continually engaging wisdom, the seven spirits of God, positioned governmentally and relationally within the tree of life, within Metatron's cube, all these sacred geometric expressions of how the fabric of creation is ordered, dimensionally engaging creation as beings of light. free for assignments dimensionally beyond, flowing from eternal perspective, heavenly, kingly, prophetic, legislative, priestly perspectives, continually active with our spirit, soul, quantumly entangled. You see, if we're operating and living in that realm multidimensionally, then all of those things that we're actively engaging are all actively engaging us here and flowing. When I first started to engage living in dual realms in 2012, it was very much linear, one thing after the other, because I was still entangled and still limited to my conscious reality because of what I'd learned in life, that you did things linearly. So I went to heaven and I did things linearly. And then as my mind got deconstructed, my consciousness expanded. It removed the limitations of the tethering to this realm. And I began to see that there was an increase in capacity as all of these things were flowing and I was connected to them and my soul was resonating with them. And then I was able to release them. Many streams of insight, perspective, wisdom, revelation that are flowing like a heavenly river. And all of us can do this. You know, I am, of course, I'm special because I'm a son of God, but you're special. All of us are special. God has no favorites. He's called us. He has commissioned us. We have a destiny to fulfill. Don't let that be limited. This is an increasing of our capacity to function in sonship. Our soul can be resonating with heavenly reality and able to shift and engage wherever we are in the heavenly realms and beyond. So I've learned just to shift my consciousness and be connected to wherever I am and wherever I need to be connected. And I am cognitively aware of what I'm doing in that realm. There, most of the time, I'm not cognitively aware of what I'm doing, but I'm benefiting cognitively because the revelation and insight and wisdom is flowing from that realm, totally connected to me here. My soul is learning non-linearity by being at rest and being able to shift focus, and this is the key, to shift focus, to connect with other realms consciously while still cognizant here. So if I could be talking to people, I can connect my soul to the heavenly realms and other dimensions and then share what I'm seeing while cognitively still being available here. So I'm learning to try and connect my spirit and soul and be aware more when I need to. I can now describe where I am in those other dimensions while still engaged actively in this realm. Now, I believe that there is more to come in this, and there is more in the expansion of our consciousness and the power of our conscious mind. Remember, we are connected to the mind of Christ, which is the mind of sonship, the mind of anointing, the mind of power to change and affect reality. Living and functioning with the mind of Christ, sonship thinking, accessing unlimited possibilities and choosing to create our reality from the heavenly and eternal perspective rather than the earthly perspective, which means we keep getting what we've always got. Let's start getting something new by seeing new realities and possible realities which are aligned with the heart of God in the heavenly realms and that eternal perspective that can be outworked. Frame time and space, because you always have all that you need to do all that you're mandated to do. Do you believe that? I do. And therefore, I frame time and space. I always have enough time every day to do everything I'm called to do. Everything I have a mandate to do, I can do. Now, that, naturally speaking, may mean I need 16 hours in a day in my working environment rather than the 8 hours. Now, there are 24 hours in the day. I may need 36. How can I get 36? By framing the day to expand or contract time to enable me to do what took 8 hours to do in 1 hour or 2 hours or whatever it might be. Time should be subject to us. We should not be subject to time. Therefore, don't be limited in your, I am too busy, I do not have the capacity, I do not have enough time. Since 2012, God has increased my capacity, but he's also increased what he's called me to do. I'm doing everything I did in 2012, plus I am teaching in the Engaging God program and developing that resource. I am doing conferences, I am traveling, none of which I did in 2012. I'm engaging with mentoring people. Now I've just added a whole lot of ambassadors groups. I've expanded my public mentoring groups to include more people. You know, everything God says for me to do, I do. And you could look at my diary and think, well, how is that possible? Because I am in charge of the time around my life. And I totally believe that I have the ability to do everything that God's calling me to do, no matter how much it increases. Time serves us as sons. We are able to contract and expand time. Effective, efficient, never too busy, never anxious, never worried, but ruling from that place of rest. That is how we should be living. That's sonship. Time travel, heavenly missions, being translated time and space in the spirit, with spirit and soul, cognitive experiences, expanded levels of consciousness, continually being in delta wave state, accessing theta wave, alpha wave states, and working that together with beta waves into living a completely supernatural sonship way of life. And, you know, coming into this year, God spoke to me about 2019. Son, you have a mandate to travel next year for strategic and governmental relationship building. So I'm open to travel, and there's already some things in the diary. Developing ambassadors for the Joshua Generation and the Engage in God program. That's a focus for me this year. You have permission to travel to India, Far East, including Singapore, Hong Kong, in the next few years. So I'm open to what God is saying. Now, I'm not going to push these things. I wait for God to open the doors, but through relationship. It's always relational for me. South Africa is a mandate that you can continue. You can continue with the relationship, Seattle, Winnipeg, develop Toronto further. You know, I have relationships with people, and I love connecting with them. You can connect with new relationships, and they can be pursued to open up new relationships in the US, the Far East, to help in the global establishment of cooperation and communication. We need to connect with one another around the world, encourage, inspire each other, testify, to stir each other, to help each other lay the foundations and see creation respond, to see the families of the earth blessed and brought back into relationship with God. Son, where I am, you are also. You are the desire of my heart and a constant, eternal thought of pleasure in my mind. Now that's beautiful, isn't it? Now that's what God thinks of you. You are. Think of you. Take this. God is speaking directly to you right now. You are the desire of my heart and a constant, eternal thought of pleasure in my mind. Allow that to change how you feel about yourself and you think about yourself. You are in me, included in the circle of the eternal dance of I am. And I am is in you to become more consciously aware of who I am and who you are as my sons. And reality will bend to your desire as it bends to mine. This is sonship. This is co-heirship. This is co-creatorship. Son, heart to heart, mind to mind, with us is the only fundamental truth that will fully unveil your potential as a son of the living God. Cardiogenosis is the only truth, the true knowledge. Heart to heart, revelation revealed only in true intimacy. All else is but vanity of the soul. We need that face-to-face, heart-to-heart, mind-to-mind connection, intimacy. Son, let it all go. Trust me alone. Focus on living loved and let me open up the way and life for you. Rest is your only need as it is fully embracing love, joy, and peace. And again, this is a repeat of the theme over and over again. Living loved, living loving, engaging in rest, love, joy, and peace. Rest comes as you are at the end of yourself and at the beginning of me. Think of that. When we seek first the kingdom, when we come to that place of intimacy and rest, when that's the priority of our life, our relationship with God, what happens? He promises everything we need will be added. We have to come to the end of ourselves. Son, live loved, and you will not fail to love living. But living loving is your choice. You can be at constant rest when you're at peace with all men as far as it's possible from your perspective. Let's make sure we're not living in contention, conflict from our perspective. You can't stop people being at conflict with you. Obviously, some of the things I'm sharing stirs people and they're critical and whatever. But that doesn't mean that I have to not love them in that way. Forgiveness is the ultimate way to live loving, as has always been represented by our willingness to sacrifice on behalf of others. The blood on the foundation stone of creation has meant relationship has always been possible from our part. But man's insistence on earning relationship through do-it-yourself methods has kept us apart and has kept man living in the futility of a mind of unworthiness and lost identity. And this is, you know, what people live like. Well, I used to live like, son, you are loved. You are included and you are valuable treasure within our heart. Son, the restoration of all things must be the focus of sonship. The revealing of my mature sons is the key to answering creation's groaning and bringing about restoration to my original intention. The full scope of restoration will be unveiled to my children as they mature in sonship. And this is what I believe God is doing, unveiling different dimensions, different ways of engaging, different possibilities that exist as our minds are renewed in that sonship perspective. Son, few can handle the whole truth, so I unveil it progressively. But truth will always be called heresy by those who defend the previous generation's partial or misinterpreted understanding. They call Jesus a heretic, by the way. Yeah. The religious people of his day did not like what he was doing in reinterpreting and redefining the truth from their perspective, bringing it from the true perspective. They challenged him and they called him a heretic and they crucified him. Jesus was called a heretic, demon-possessed, a lunatic by those who were challenged by the truth that he progressively unveiled, and it will be the journey that most forerunners have to face. Accept that there will be opposition, but live in love. Don't be intimidated or bring in fear because of that opposition. Choose to live in forgiveness, bless, and live in love. Son, don't hold back. Continue to slay the sacred cows of religion, which the Bible, as God's word, is most fiercely defended. So in other words, those who see the Bible as God's word rather than Jesus as God's word will defend their religious doctrinal positions fiercely because they believe they're defending the truth. But the truth isn't the interpretation of the Bible or the Bible. The truth is Jesus. God is truth. So when the reference point for religion is removed, those without the true intimacy of a face-to-face relationship with me entrench and defend their doctrines and theologies and kill the forerunner prophets of fresh revelation. So has it always been. Now, fortunately today, most are not killed physically, but there is a lot of negative words and negativity spoken and trying to kill reputation and all that sort of stuff. My disciples could not receive and bear the whole truth in the early church. So it has been with each subsequent generation. There are those who are not receiving truth, even though the truth is there, but others are unveiling that truth. They're the forerunners. Son, be very careful that it does not become the same with you. Continue to be open to my voice and don't lean to your own understanding. The mark of religion is the defense of its doctrines by becoming a religious sectarian exclusive, creating factions and building monuments to the past called denominations. When any group begins to exclude others from relationship based on hard and fast doctrines, the writing is on the wall for them. Now this is happening today, even amongst what we call the mystic community, and I am concerned about it. Relationships are strained, relationships are breaking. People are making relationship based on agreement rather than the fact that we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. Son, use the restoration intensive to create open dialogue, a place of honor and a safe place for my exploration, and I will unveil my presence. We are doing an intensive next year in June, beginning of June, with Nancy Cohen and Justin Abraham and Lindy Strong, myself, to talk about and engage in about restoration and its height, depth, breadth, and give an opportunity to talk about some of the more controversial things in a safe place where we're not looking to come to a conclusive answer, but the fact that we're all having experiences that we need to be aware of and then help each other to come to a place of rest and peace within it. So I'd encourage you, if you've not yet signed up for that, have a look. We have it as the Restoration of All Things intensive next year. The end of the old is always the begirth pangs of the new, and has always been a place of persecution and conflict. Son, don't allow the conflict of others to stop you from living, loving, and being at peace with all men. The reality of the new covenant age, which is the fulfilling of all the covenants and promises in Jesus, is always challenged by those who want to keep people as slaves to the old mediatorial systems devised by men. Sonship is living in the new covenant age and embracing the progressive unveiling of true reality in the ages to come. The restoration of all things must begin with the restoration of true intimacy within a face-to-face relationship of innocence. Son, the battle lines are being drawn by those within the new who are fearfully reverting to the safety of the old. Do not get drawn into a fight and do not dishonor those who have gone before. And it's so important that we honor people for the revelation they've brought, but don't get stuck if they fail to move on or if they entrench back into old. Now, just because people use new language does not mean that that language is expressing the truth of that, what that means. So many people will talk about benches of three, government, courts of heaven, establishing things on earth, but it doesn't mean that what they're doing is actually in alignment with the revelation that God is releasing. Many are still doing it under the old. So they're still calling their leadership the bench of three, but that leadership is top-down hierarchical and covering rather than foundational, empowering and releasing. That's always going to be the hallmark of the new. It's not limiting or restricting or covering people with a system of government which is hierarchical and not foundational. So be discerning when you hear people using the language. Be discerning. Don't just believe that what they're saying is necessarily the truth. Take it back to God and use the discernment that God's giving you to see, is this actually new? Or is this just the old repackaged under a no name? An old wineskin, an old model, which has actually been given a new name, that then people get deceived into thinking this is new and it isn't. Son, being able to honor and respect others in the face of criticism and attack is the hallmark of maturity. Not easy, though. Son, you must point out the signs as warnings to those who might be led astray by reputation, position, and celebrity status, but still maintain honor and love. So I do see things. I am aware of things. I try and deal with this in the spiritual realm in my own way. But sometimes you just have to point out, look, don't be led astray just because someone has have amazing testimonies. And I include myself in this. Don't be led astray by me. Make sure that God leads you. And whatever I say, take it back to God. But what anyone says within this whole movement or whatever it is, what anyone says, make sure you do not just accept what they're saying, but take it back to God and get direct revelation yourself. If you're unsure, put it on the back burner and leave it there until God stirs it. But make sure you do not put people on a pedestal. You do not believe just because they're sharing amazing things that everything they do is right. And be aware that some people talk from theory and not practice. So if people are talking about this new way of doing this, this new wineskin, ask them, where's that outworking in your life? Where's that outworking? Where are you doing this on earth? Or is it just a theory or a concept that has no authority with it? If you're not outworking it, or if it's not being outworked, there's little authority that comes with the words. It must be demonstrated to be true fruit. The fruit of what God reveals is the manifestation of that on earth as it is in heaven. Son, the issues are always variants of money, status, and power, but can become very subtle trading floors and are hidden traps waiting for the complacent to fall into. Be very careful and look, when you look at what's going on, to look at money, status, position, and power as being some of the issues. And if some of the other ones are obviously other things, which, you know, I think Bob Jones years ago said, it's the gold, the girls, or the glory. You know, now, you know, I don't see the girls issue much now today, but it has been in the past. You have all these fallen people who are stuck in various relational issues, let's say. But I do see money as becoming an issue. A whole lot of people pursuing money, seeking money, asking for money, doing this. God is our provider. You know, power, position, using that power and position to influence people rather than point them back to God. Be careful, is what I'm saying. Whenever identity is created and caught up in the knowledge and the revealing of truth rather than the purity of relationship with me, it will create a defensive position to exclude others from. Son, there will always be a beyond in relationship with me, as there is always something deeper and always something higher within I am to explore and discover. Now that's, for me, great. I love exploring. I love the fact that there's always going to be more. Son, never settle for the safe place. Boldly go beyond to beyond to beyond. Son, establishing and maintaining kingdom relationships will always be needed. Make that your priority within the strategic purposes that are available to you. And I think this is important, that we always look to put relationship first, not agreement over doctrines or theology, but relationship. I desire to open up new nations, continents, language groups through the legislation and the administration of the ambassadors groups, but you will need to keep them focused. There are many obstacles and barriers that will need to be overcome and removed for new connections to be made. The Joshua generation must arise as sons and begin to shine on earth as they are positioned in heaven. This is the hardest task. It's great doing things in heaven, but we need to establish those things. Establishing a physical beachhead on earth with the correct spiritual relational foundations is the biggest challenge. The people that I'm mandating with scrolls and blueprints are failing to heed the call. There are many wrong mindsets about leadership, intellectual qualifications, skills, abilities that are restricting my children from maturing in sonship and taking the responsibility that I am giving them. Be open to respond to blueprints and mandates to establish something on earth. It doesn't have to be as it's been before. Many are still under the bondage of the old church systems and loyalties, and I am calling them out of the old to establish the new on earth as it is in heaven. Through the ambassadors, release the call, amplify the sound to target those people and areas that I will reveal. Now, this is legislative authority. I am calling my children out of the shadows and coverings to come into the light and take responsibility. Let the sound and light calling for my sons to arise intensify. Let the sons of God arise and take their places in heaven and on earth. Prepare your hearts and minds and be ready for action. If you, my children, fail to respond, I am will turn up the heat and bring you into a season of intensity where my consuming fire will fall to purify and refine. Fear of responsibility and lack of identity, therefore inadequacy, is what the fire will consume. So let the call go forth to prepare your hearts and minds. Let the sons of God arise. Let my perfect love consume all fear. Let the love bombs of heaven be released to explode over the fearful, timid, and hesitant. Let love's power be released to set my people free from the traps, snares of fear that they're caught up in. Let the sons of God arise. So in summary, what do I see that's on the heart of God for 2019 and beyond? Unity, honor that places relationship above differences. Love's light, God's nature and essence revealed more intimately. Lifting off the bucket of religion that veils the arising and shining of the sons of God. Deconstruction and renewal of the mind. Ongoing process. The inclusive message of Acts 17. We all live, move, and exist within God and are God's children. Rest, meditation, mindfulness. Now, I want to finish with the first things God spoke to me in 2019. And I believe, you know, this is the heart of God. Son, I am is at rest and at work in rest. That is the key to living in a fulfilled and contented way. Son, do the same. live from the center of our being within the circle of the dance and our conversation. Sun, live empowered from within our thoughts and let those thoughts keep you in love, joy and peace, which are the foundations of rest. Rest is an expression of trust in me and our ability to protect, provide and direct. Rest is trusting that I am good and all that I do is motivated by love and is designed to bless you and enable you to be a blessing to others and to creation itself. Sun, you have only just begun to engage the surface of my love. You will be able to plumb the depths of love as deep is calling you to come deeper into me. Sun, you can't even begin to imagine how deep is my love, as I am infinite and there is no end, no bottom, no sides to my love. Amazing, amazing love. Love is infinite and therefore can never run out, can never be overcome, can never be escaped, can never be finite or explainable, but can be wonderfully experienced. Sun, it is only love that can truly redeem, reconcile and restore and therefore bring about the transformation of those who are lost in self-identity, futility and vanity and are therefore broken, fragmented, separated in their own minds. Sun, love is I am and love is the only power in all of creation that can restore my lost children back to my glorious intended sonship. Sun, there is no end, there is no beginning, there is just I am, and you are in the center of my heart's desire and vast sum of thoughts about you, you in face-to-face innocence. Sun, live from within rest of love's embrace, live loved, love living, and live loving. So again, I encourage you to respond to the very call of God that's coming out of heaven, the sound of heaven, the frequency of heaven. Respond to that. Respond to that call to sonship. Respond to that call to embrace love, to have your minds renewed. Let the sons of God arise. 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 Take their place of love within the heart of God, within the conversation of Father, Son, and Spirit, within the circle of the dance, within the eternal now, to bring that deconstruction and renewal of the mind necessary for us to truly have the limitations removed from our sonship. Let the sons of God arise. Let the sons of God arise. Arise, take your places, seated in the heavenly realms, beyond the veil, bringing heaven to earth as a gateway of heaven into the earth. Be willing to take responsibility, receive the mandates and scrolls to establish heaven on earth. Let the sons of God arise. Let the sons of God arise.